What is up, bosses? Before we kick off this episode, let me tell you about our sponsor this week. I'm talking about Indeed.com. Now, if hiring great people is one of your company's goals, as it should be, you need to do it fast. And you can find the right person fast with Indeed Instant Match. See, Indeed is the only one with Instant Match technology that immediately delivers quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. I'm going to tell you more about Indeed and their Instant Match during the break, but if you want to get a jump start now, we're going to hook you up with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job posts when you go to Indeed.com/iLab. That's right, get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/iLab. That's Indeed.com/ILAB. Okay, now on to this week's episode.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
Hey, bosses, this is Johnny FD, and welcome to episode 191 of the Invest Like a Boss podcast. I'm back in Kiev, Ukraine, and Sam is in sunny Barcelona.
Not sunny, but very delightful for August. I'm pleasantly pleased because most people say in August it's roasting and I still don't have air conditioning in my flat. So, man, most days here are like spring right now. It feels really nice. And I think I'm getting, I'm quite fortunate given the situation with the air conditioning.
Yeah, well, we might be complaining it's hot now, but in a month, it's going to be cold again. Maybe not in Spain as much, but winter is coming in Ukraine, and you know, maybe this time next month it's going to be freezing.
It happens fast. The change happens really quick. And Johnny, I was noticing on the video before we killed him off to save some bandwidth here. Was that new wallpaper up already?
This actually isn't my apartment. This is an Airbnb because my place is completely under renovation. And it's funny because on video, this wallpaper and this place actually looks pretty cool. It looks kind of just kind of give everyone an idea. It's like a dark velvet green with gold leaf kind of floor patterns. So it kind of looks like it could be like some baller oligarch kind of apartment. But in reality, it looks terrible. Like in person, it looks really bad.
I was kind of thinking that. I was looking at it, I'm like, wow, that's bold, Johnny. And it looks really good like at first appearance. But I was like, if I had to live with that after a couple of weeks, it might get a little intense.
Yeah. And I think if you had this kind of oligarch wallpaper and everything else was also really high end and fancy, the apartment could be really good. But when you have this with, you know, kind of cheap looking faux green marble and kind of just a tacky, you know, like grandma flat, it doesn't work at all. Like they should have just painted it white.
Styles are changing. You're going to do your place a little bit more contemporary, right? A little bit of a mix of classical and contemporary.
Yeah. It's going to be mostly white walls with a bit of exposed brick. I was tempted to do some of this, you know, kind of crazy oligarch wallpaper, just in like in the foray. Like actually my designer wanted to paint the, I don't know. Is there like a less douchey way of saying that the front room when you walk in, like your foyer?
Well, in Espanol, they call it La Entrada.
La Entrada. Yeah. So she wanted to paint my La Entrada all black, which would have been Yeah, it would have been a cool statement. You know, you walk in, it's like, whoa, what is this? But I told her, I was like, I can't do it. It's just, you know,
like, it's too very much similar to what happened in mine, because they painted my entrance, my La Entrada, they painted the ceiling red. And I was really against it. I wanted to give them a little bit of free reign. So I pushed back on some other things. Like they wanted to paint the living room like a teal green. And I'm like, I don't want to push back on everything. So I pushed back on the teal green living room and let them do the La Entrada in red. And dude, I think that's the best looking part of the house, of the flat. It looks so sick.
Yeah. Sometimes we just have to trust our designers. I mean, like in general, I mean, that's why we hire them, right? If we were just going to paint it white, we wouldn't need one. Or if we were going to pick and choose everything ourselves, we would also just not need one.
Pretty much everything I let them do looks great, and everything that I tried to influence kind of came out par. average. So yeah, I agree. I think sometimes you need a leap of faith, but I have to side with you. I think the black entrance would have been, that would have been intense.
Yeah. That makes me regret now not getting it, because it probably would have looked awesome.
Right. Well, you can always paint it black. That's what they say, right?
Yeah.
So, well, I'm excited for this episode. I guess one thing to start it with, obviously we're going to be talking about tourism bonds in Costa Rica, but Gianni, have you ever been to Costa Rica? I'm not sure if we've ever caught up on that.
No, I've been kind of close. I was in Honduras, on the islands. So kind of similar weather, similar area, but yeah. Costa Rica has always been on my list of places I wanted to visit. I just never really gotten around to it. What about you?
It's easily the best country in Central America to visit. It's probably the safest. I would say it's definitely the safest, and maybe besides Panama, but I think it's safer than Panama. But in terms of the variety of and the lifestyle, I think it's by far the best. It's pretty awesome. I think I've been 3 or 4 times, but I haven't been in a long time. Obviously, it got a lot of attention going back 10 or 15 years ago. It seemed like it was going to be the new hot investment place in the Americas. But it seemed to kind of like get really popular and then level off. I'm not sure exactly why that is, but yeah, it's an amazing place in the Americas for sure.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things about it. I would love to go there and surf. I would love to go there and check out the kind of biodiversity and then the nature. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like a great place, especially if you're living in the US and you don't want to fly all the way out to Asia, to Thailand or Sri Lanka. Right. But for me, being on this side of the world already, it doesn't really make any sense for me to fly all the way back to Costa Rica when I can go somewhere, in Thailand or Indonesia, that's, probably half the price.
Right. Well, we never know how the world will shake out, but for sure, for people that are living in the Americas, Costa Rica is an awesome place to spend part of the year or vacation. So on this episode, we're going to be talking about Costa Rican tourism bonds. I think it's going to be a very interesting episode. That offers a bit of a lifestyle investment, and I've never really heard of anything like this in different ways, but not specifically like this. So I think it's going to pique the interest of a lot of listeners, both as an investment opportunity, but also as a lifestyle perk. Kind of relates a little bit to the episode with, what was the estates one? Equity estates that we did back in the day. There's some overlap there. So I think it's going to be of high interest.
Yeah, I think this is a really exciting type of new investment. And this is why I like having this podcast. It's just exploring different ways to spend our money, not necessarily just to get the highest returns, but also as a lifestyle investment. So let's have on Richard from Costa Rica Tourism Bonds, and let's find out what this is all about.
Let's hear it from Richard and Johnny.
This week's sponsor of Invest Like a Boss is our friends over at Indeed. Now, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. One of the best things you can do for your company is to hire great people. And it's even better if you can do it fast. Well, Indeed can do all of that. With Indeed's Instant Match, they can immediately deliver quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. You can even invite those people to apply right away. And according to Indeed's data, those people you invite are 3 times more likely to apply to your job than just seeing it in a search alone. So when hiring gets hard, you need Indeed. They're the job site that makes hiring incredibly simple. Just attract, interview, and hire. In fact, with Indeed, you can do all of your hiring in one place, even do the interviewing right inside Indeed. So join the more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast, and we're going to even get you ahead of everyone else because you're going to get a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post because you listen to us here at Invest Like a Boss. Just head over to Indeed.com/iLab. That's Indeed.com/ILAB. You'll get a $75 credit just for going to Indeed.com/iLab. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Richard, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on to hear more about both Costa Rica, but also the tourism bonds. But first, you don't sound very Costa Rican.
Well, it's actually funny you say that, because I've got Brits asking me whether I'm from Australia at the moment. But this is what happens when you spend most of your adult life outside of the UK. But no, I'm originally from just outside London. Even though my father was in the military, kind of a military brat, we moved around quite a bit. But, you know, south, just outside of London in Surrey is really home for me.
Okay. And now you're living and working in Costa Rica. You're the managing director of the Tourism Bonds. Can you give us just kind of a quick background on your life and how you ended up doing this?
Yeah, sure. I'll try not to bore the listeners too much. But I mean, basically, how old was I? I must have been about 19, 20 years old. I was doing accounting investment degree at Nottingham Business School. For everyone that doesn't know where Nottingham is, I'm sure that they think it's the sheriff of Nottingham. I had the decision basically my third year to go and work for ExxonMobil counting oil barrels or go to the US. And the decision wasn't hard. So, you know, I ran off to the US, to Minnesota, and I have to be honest, I was very naive. I had no idea how cold it got in Minnesota. and I mean, it was one extreme to the other. You know, it was up in the high 90s in the summer. And then, I mean, it dropped to like 40 below in the winters. But I met a Costa Rican lady there who is now my wife, and she's the reason I'm here. That was back in, 2002. And that was my first trip to Costa Rica. And then I moved here full time in 2005 after selling a share I had in a business in the UK. Started a travel company in 2005 that was bought in 2007 by a much bigger US-based company. I was focused mainly on Europe and the UK, custom designing vacations to Costa Rica for Brits. And that company bought me, made me a shareholder in that company as well as giving me some cash. And then that business was probably about maybe 12 or 15 people. We were selling maybe about $1 million a year. Today, it's Costa Rica and Central America's largest luxury travel company. And we're selling about, I think this year, we'll probably do close to 50 million.
Wow, that's amazing. And yeah. Aside from, you know, happening to marry a Costa Rican girl, and I'm sure you moved there for the weather, like what are some of the reasons why you like Costa Rica personally?
I mean, anyone that comes here is going to know. I mean, it's the people. Johnny, I mean, this is, you know, whenever they do the happiness index, you know, the World Happiness Index of the happiest places to live in the world, Costa Rica is normally in the top five, if not number one. I think it got kicked off the top spot by Finland recently, but normally it's up there in the top five places to live. You know, the people are just very warm. The sun shines every single day here. I mean, you just know what the weather's going to be like. You're going to wake up in the morning, the sun's going to shine. If it's like November through to April, it shines all day and there are no clouds in the sky. If it's May through till kind of November time, early November, you know, we get a bit of rain in the afternoon, but it's not like monsoons. It just rains for maybe an hour max, maybe two, if we're lucky, kind of brings the temperature down and then the sun comes back out again.
Okay. So if anyone's listening to this a few months later and it's winter, I'm sure they're sold on this. How did this tourism bond actually start? And is this a government program? Or is it a private program?
No, it's a private program. So it came, you know, I mean, we've been in the industry here for going on 17 years. So, you know, I've known the owners of hotels. I've known their plight. We also have our own hotel as well, Johnny, that we decided to, we built that in actually 2007, 2008. We actually kind of grouped some funds together from friends and family and also raised some private money there to build an eight bedroom boutique hotel. It became one of the top hotels in Costa Rica. But like, we understand the plight of hoteliers here in Costa Rica, as well as knowing the industry inside and out and all of the owners. So, you know, those relationships really kind of were strained during the relationships with them, but like the relationships between the banks and also the hotels were strained during the pandemic, just because the banks really kind of just closed their doors, you know, and they weren't going to be much help. And, you know, we were like, look, there's got to be a better way than going to banks for capital here in Costa Rica, because the banks here are charging, you know, 7.5% and up, which, you know, I think in North America is probably daylight robbery. No.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, there's just a lack of access to capital down here. And coming out of COVID, you know, Costa Rica has been coming out of COVID since probably about December with regards to like its tourism. It opens its doors. You know, we're at about, I want to say roughly around about 60%, you know, of the arrivals that we had, you know, pre-pandemic of what we've got now. Costa Rica was very lucky. It kept its doors open. And, you know, a lot of these hotels are doing very well. So we're seeing hotels with current occupancy and, you know, in the 70%, you know, range. And these guys are looking to expand their properties. And also there's been a bit of a swing, Johnny, to kind of more vacation rentals with hotel amenities here. We have access to a bunch of data here from our website. Plus also we own a kind of, a lifestyle living website here, centralamerica.com. So we have all this data that we look at, and that's kind of where it's swinging to. So putting all these things together, like a lack of access to capital, you know, especially in the US as well, is, you know, for private investors, is where do you put money at the moment? You know, everything's at an all-time high, the market, gold, Bitcoin, real estate, like, you know, and they're looking to actually divest a little bit down here in Costa Rica. I mean, we see it here in just the real estate transactions, which are absolutely insane at the moment, Johnny. You know, and it's so they're looking to invest in Costa Rica. And, you know, not everybody, I suppose, wants a vacation rental. You know, some people would like to invest into existing, you know, successful tourism projects. And these tourism projects would like to find ways to basically upgrade and add more, I suppose, inventory, but more rooms, you know, more villas, vacation rentals, or build vacation rentals on their property. So it's kind of marrying people looking to invest and get a, what we'll, I'm sure the talk about later, a lifestyle investment with, you know, investors basically from all over the world who are looking to invest into successful tourism projects here in Costa Rica.
Okay, definitely makes sense. And kind of as far as the actual project itself, like, how does that work? Is it, I mean, let's say some big hotel says, all right, we need to borrow X amount because we want to build another hotel. Is that investment going to be, you know, backed at all or secured by that, you know, whatever they build with it, or how's that work?
Yeah. I mean, basically it's, I mean, Johnny, just to be clear, I won't touch large hotels, Johnny. You know, it's more, I have a focus on more kind of environmental sustainable, hotels here, smaller boutique hotels, you know, 60 rooms and less, just because that's really the DNA of Costa Rica. I mean, anyone that's been here or anyone that comes here will see is that there are not tons of large resorts here. I mean, we have a Four Seasons here, you know, in a Planet Hollywood, but a lot of these hotels have been here for many, many years. So, but yes, everything is actually secured by the actual property itself. So the investment that they'll be making is secured by the cash flows of the business and also the asset as well. In some circumstances, the actual owners of the hotel put the actual property into escrow during the period of the bond.
Okay, that's actually pretty cool. And what kind of returns can someone expect?
So this is where the interesting thing comes in. This is why I call it a lifestyle kind of investment, Johnny, because there are two parts to it. You know, there is an annual kind of fixed return. So that can range anywhere from 4 to 6%. Okay. And that's guaranteed. So it's not that like, oh, if we do well, then, you know, you'll get that. No, it's guaranteed. Because in some circumstances, Johnny, you know, they're expanding, but they're also using some of the money to restructure some of their debt. So where they're paying 8% with a bank, you know, they're very happy to pay 4% to a bondholder. Okay. And then there's also the lifestyle part of it, which is, I don't know how deep you want me to go into that at the moment.
I'd love to hear about that. I think, you know, the 4 to 6% is kind of like a nice perk. You know, most people are thinking, okay, I'm still growing my money, but what else do I get for that?
Yeah. And that's really the lifestyle part of it, you know, is that these hotels, I mean, I always think about it like this, Johnny. I mean, how much money do you spend on vacations per year? You know, I asked someone this the other day who was, I was talking to about this, and he was like, dude, I spend a lot of money. And I was just like, okay, well, I mean, if you purchase a bond, theoretically, you don't need to take a vacation again because you're getting anywhere from like 1 to 2 weeks, even more in some of these properties to actually go and use them. So that's kind of, you know, the lifestyle part of it, that you actually get to use the actual properties and enjoy them as an owner, as well as getting discounts while on these resorts. And I use the word resort very lightly because these places are not very big, Johnny. You know, it's again, the one that comes to mind, Arenas del Mar, you know, which is a luxury beachfront resort in one of Costa Rica's, you know, number one tourist destinations, you know, only has 37 suites. You know, it's not massive, but it does very, very well. You know, they have an average daily rate of about $600 per night. But getting back to the theme, I mean, that's really it is, you know, when you factor in the lifestyle part of it, of the vacation side, plus also, you know, your return, I mean, you're looking at, you know, over 10% return per year.
Okay. Yeah. And plus, I think for a lot of people, they would just be excited to go there and say, hey, I'm a part owner in this. I'm an investor in this, and just kind of have that social cred to talk about.
Hey, it feels pretty good, Johnny, to walk around in a hotel being an owner. And I'll say that it's not too good sometimes. You know, when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely makes sense. So like, as far as like minimums, you know, what is the minimum and at what point can someone get, you know, a week at one of these nice hotels?
So again, every single bond is very different in its structure just because every single property uses it differently. I mean, it starts at about, it starts around $50,000 and then goes up. The Arenas Del Mar one is $200,000. They're looking, they have a limited subscription there of only 50 bond holders at $200,000. They're looking to raise $10 million. Where there are other ones that are only looking to raise, that are only looking to raise, you know, 2 million. So it's a less of an investment. One of the benefits of investing, Johnny, here over $150,000 is you can then apply for Costa Rican residency, you know, which is a big thing for people. People like to have that in their pocket here.
Okay. And what's that process like? So invest $150,000. I'm assuming nothing's really guaranteed because they have to do a background check and all that, but can you tell me a little bit more about the actual, like what someone actually gets for that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, again, if you invest over $150,000 here in Costa Rica, you can apply for residency. So, you know, you have the possibility of getting it. I mean, I say possibility because as you mentioned there, you know, you need to get a background check done. And again, as long as I think that you don't have any major issues on your background check, then you'll be fine. You just need to, I mean, if you're from the US, Johnny, you know, you just go to your, I suppose you get a local crime check done and then get that authenticated by the Costa Rican embassy in the US and then bring it down here, that your birth certificate and then, you know, certification of the bond. And then you can basically go ahead and apply, and you can apply yourself. It probably costs around about $100, or you can get a lawyer to do it, which I would suggest just because it's just a lot easier that way. And that has a cost of about $1,500 and up. But I mean, I don't know anyone that's ever been rejected Costa Rican residency.
Okay. And would you say residency, is that like a 1 year, 10 year permanent? Like what kind of residency is it?
It's renewable. So, I mean, basically you'll be a temporary resident for 5 years. You just need to renew it every year. You just need to come to Costa Rica once a year for basically a day. So you can just come to Costa Rica one day per year. Again, if you've invested into one of these bonds, you know, I'm sure that you're probably coming for more than one day a year because you're probably going to be taking advantage of the, you know, of the vacations that you get with this. So, you know, it's you just need to come for one day a year. It's renewable every year. And after 5 years, you get permanent residency. So once you have permanent residency, you know, you're a resident forever, if you wish.
So after 5 years of renewing, so I'm assuming that you have to keep your money invested for 5 years then to be able to renew every year.
Correct. And I'm sure that's going to bring up one of your other questions that may come up, which is, you know, the how, you know, what is the life of the bonds? You know, and it ranges from 10 years to 20 years. Arenas Del Mar, the $200,000 investment, one is a 15-year bond. But they can be called at any time during that, you know, during that process. But you're going to typically find is that they're not going to be called within the first 5 years, unless, of course, that the properties have a huge windfall, or they do get purchased. You know, if they do get bought, maybe the current, you know, the new owners may look at, you know, buying the bonds back.
Okay. And in that, you know, rare situation, would the owner be able to just, or the investor be able to just, you know, redeploy that money into another investment and keep their residency, or how does that work?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really up to them, Johnny, of what they end up doing, but yes, that they could do. They could redeploy that money into a new bond. They could redeploy it into other real estate in Costa Rica or anything else. I mean, it's very, I would say, nondescript of what you can invest $150,000 into to get residency here in Costa Rica. The country just wants to see the, you know, the inflow of 150,000. But I mean, for that, is there a lot of tax breaks that you get as well here? And you can also bring in vehicles as well without tax, because tax here in Costa Rica is quite high, Johnny. I always joke that basically we're paying for the great weather.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. So it sounds like the $150,000 kind of level is what most investors are going to shoot for, because they get the bonus of having residency and the chance of renewing it and actually getting permanent residency. So around that $150,000 range right now, like what hotels are available, how many nights would they get for that? And, you know, can you just give me an example of what's available right now?
Well, the one that we have at the moment, which is Arenas Del Mar. I mean, Arenas Del Mar, for again, is probably just words that people are listening to. But Arenas Del Mar, if you've been to Costa Rica or you're kind of in the industry, here is probably one of the most iconic beachfront hotels. It's located in Mamon Antonio, which is Costa Rica's number one tourist destination. And I mean, one thing you, the listeners need to understand is Costa Rica is just not really that developed. I mean, if you go to Mexico, you go to Hawaii, that's developed. Costa Rica is very still very kind of raw and organic. But I mean, that's an investment of $200,000. For that, again, you get a 4% return, and the bond lasts for 15 years. And you'll get 2 weeks stay for every $200,000 you invest. And for every $100,000 beyond the $200,000, you get another week as well.
Okay. And talk to me about like blackout dates and, you know, how far in advance do you have to book, and, you know, do you have to pay taxes once you get there in the room, like, you know, room tax or anything like that?
No. So there are no room taxes. There are some blackout dates on it because, of course, you know, the whole idea behind having a hotel is to kind of maximize cash flow. So they limit to an extent of when you can stay from May to June. So May and June, and then also from mid-August, you can stay from mid-August all the way through up until December 20th. So our high season here in Costa Rica is kind of, you know, Christmas and then all the way through till kind of Easter. So, you know, that's when the majority of the money is made here. And then we see a little flutter in July and kind of the first 2 weeks of August. So they're kind of just the blackout dates on those. I mean, one thing that I like, Johnny, about this, you know, and I didn't realize it until I was speaking to an oral surgeon yesterday from the US who called me, was like, this forces people to take vacation. I mean, it was very similar to you had Philip from Equity Estates that, mm-hmm. you know, once you make this investment, you're kind of obliged to use it every single year. So, you know, I'm not too sure about you, Johnny, but when I think back to my childhood and my best memories that I have of my childhood, you know, typically mine are, you know, family vacations. You know, and all the memories that kind of come with them. And that's kind of really the intangible part of this, and, you know, the kind of the soft feel of this. And that's why I kind of refer to it kind of more of a lifestyle investment than an investment, because if you're looking to make a pure investment, Johnny, you know, this may not be the thing for you. But if you're interested in making a kind of, I suppose, an improvement to your lifestyle, which really is an intangible, you know, part, and creating those memories and potentially you have a family, you know, this is a great thing to do. Because, you know, as Philip said in that, you know, in the Equity Estates podcast, was like, it forces people who are typically very, very busy to take vacations.
Yeah. And actually that is a huge benefit, especially for someone who's living in the US or, you know, Western country, and they're working a lot. They might have money. They might even, you know, try to plan vacations, but very often 2-3 years pass and they just haven't done anything. So It actually reminds me a little bit of a non-crappy version of a timeshare. And when I say that, I remember one of my cousins, you know, really wealthy guy, he has a great business, makes a ton of money, and he bought a timeshare. And I was like, this is the worst investment you ever could have bought. But then I realized for him, it was actually good because it forced him to go to Hawaii every single year. And if it wasn't for that stupid timeshare that was making him no money, he just wouldn't have gone. So this is kind of like a better version of that, where you actually earn money as well.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, a lot of people said, hey, this sounds like a timeshare. And I mean, to an extent, I mean, probably 60% of it is a timeshare. Just you get your original investment back, whereas on a timeshare that you don't, you know, and there are other benefits. You get annual, you know, you get guaranteed annual returns, which you don't usually get with a timeshare. So, you know, I think you bring up a great point there, though, Johnny, is, you know, I mean, you know, and maybe I'm being a little bit, you know, extreme on this, but I mean, when people are on their deathbeds, Johnny, nobody, you know, is thinking about how much money they didn't make or that they didn't work enough. I mean, they're thinking about, I didn't spend enough time with my kids. I didn't spend enough time traveling. I didn't spend enough time enjoying myself. You know, there are typically the regrets that people have. So, you know, and I think that the pandemic of everyone being locked down, not so much us here in Costa Rica, because we were pretty, pretty free, but like, you know, it really puts stuff into perspective for people. So, I mean, you know, everything is timing, Johnny. And I think that this, from what we've seen from the demand for this, you know, I mean, we only launched this, you know, I mean, basically about a month ago, Johnny. You know, we'd been working on it for a while, but we actually went and launched it. And the first day, you know, we couldn't keep up with all the inquiries coming through for these things. And we haven't even touched, you know, the hotel's previous clients that have been there either. So, you know, I'm waiting basically a week for that. To just kind of do a bit of a test for the previous guests that have stayed at this, because I just know it's going to go crazy.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, for anyone who's spent money to go there, they understand the value of the hotel, how nice it actually is. They want to go back. It makes a lot of sense. I definitely think you're going to get a lot of sales, you know, from their investors from that. So for the people who are asking, and you know, kind of quick fire round questions,
sure.
who can invest, what countries can invest, do you need to be accredited, you know, et cetera?
So that's a good question. I mean, because it's a investment here in Costa Rica, Johnny, you know, Costa Rica does not have any, you know, accredited investors rules. The Reynas del Mar one, for instance, though, does, you know, they prefer to have accredited investors. But anyone in the world can invest into these. Just that, you know, each property is very different and unique, as is the ownership structure. But the Reynas del Mar one, you know, is for accredited investors, but the other ones, you know, are not.
Okay. And you could be from any country. Can you invest in like British pounds? Can you invest in euros?
You can invest in anything. I mean, the investment will be made in US dollars, Johnny, just because that's kind of how the world works down here. Mm-hmm. You know, the local currency is Costa Rica colones, but everything is priced in dollars just because then, you know, it's everything's pegged kind of against the dollar down here.
Okay. That's great. And as far as the actual residency, like if somebody, you know, isn't really going to live in Costa Rica full time, what are some of the benefits of actually even having the residency then if they're going to spend majority of their time in the US or the UK?
Well, I mean, I think it's always nice to have that kind of card in your pocket, Johnny. You know, after a while, I believe it's after 7 years, you can also apply for citizenship as well. You know, so having a Costa Rican passport, you know, can be helpful sometimes getting into some countries. But I mean, if you're not going to kind of live down here, or look at, like, you know, I suppose spending some time down here, I mean, there's probably not huge amounts of benefit to it, Johnny. I just look at it as a kind of get out of jail free card. If you needed to, not that you'd go to jail, and that's probably a bad thing to use, but like, it's always nice to have it in your pocket because you just never know how circumstances change, you know, and just be like, you know what, now we're going to go to Costa Rica for 6 months, you know, and you don't need to leave the country every, you know, 30 days or 90 days, you know, it's, you get to live here, you know, the government sees people that have residency here. They have the same rights as citizens do.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. Especially in, you know, this day and age with travel lockdowns and restrictions, it's nice to have a legal way to go somewhere else. You know, if you need to get out of the UK or you need to get out of the US just because things go crazy there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you guys have probably covered before, you know, and this may be a way for some people, you know, who actually do want to come and live down here in Costa Rica, but they want to rent rather than buying a place. You know, they can make that investment. They can come down here. And I think it was, I don't remember the number of days, but I think it was if you're a US citizen, you spend over 330 something days a year, you know, outside of the US, you know, there's a tax exemption for your income, if I'm correct, of like $105,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fantastic. I love it. So how do you guys get paid? Like what are your fees?
Sure. Basically the hotels pay us a commission. We do all the marketing and we do all the sales for them and they pay us a commission on every single bond that we sell.
Okay. So yeah,
I'm in it. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Johnny.
So from the investor side, you know, the 4%, we keep that, you know, the hotels are paying you out of their pocket.
Correct. They're paying us out of their pocket, but there's something bigger in it for me, Johnny, because, you know, again, being an owner of one of Costa Rica's largest luxury travel companies, you know, I get to help them shape, you know, the future of tourism here in Costa Rica, because I'm not going anywhere, Johnny. You know, I'm ingrained in this, you know, in this political system and also tourism industry here. You know, they call me the Tika Linda here, which is like the, you know, the pageant queen, just because I know a lot of people here in the industry and we've helped shape the industry here and also develop, you know, when new projects happen, they come and knock on our door and say, hey guys, where is the demand? What's happening? I wish more properties did it, to be honest with you, Johnny, but the smart ones come and talk to us because we have all this data. You know, we're sending, you know, millions of dollars a year to these hotels. So for me, you know, there's an ulterior motive as well, which is I get to help shape the future of tourism in Costa Rica, but also provides, you know, I suppose, a different platform for investing in Costa Rica, but also for raising capital here. So when we see a move towards more kind of vacation rentals with hotel amenities, the hotels and resorts have done the hard work. I mean, you know, they have great reputations. They're in amazing locations. It's just now of, okay, accessing capital to continue to develop and improve, you know, their resorts, which, you know, increases, you know, the client satisfaction, which increases Costa Rica's brand, which brings more people here. So, you know, there's always an ulterior motive and that's mine really, but it's a little bit more kind of, you know, kind of rainbows and unicorns, I suppose, to an extent of like, I love this country.
Yeah. You know what? I would love to visit sometime. So thanks so much for all this information. If somebody wanted to take a look at what offerings are available, find out more information, where can they go?
They can just go to our website, which is tourismbonds.com. So tourismbonds.com. They can have a read through there. It gives information, the properties, and then they can contact us there. And if they inquire, they'll probably end up actually speaking to me, Johnny, just because I really like to speak to people. But, you know, I think the one thing that we've mentioned here that you said that, like, this would be great for people that have been to the properties, I typically won't, like, allow people to invest unless they've actually been to see what their investment is. Just because I think it's really important that they understand what they're investing into, and also to understand kind of the concept of, you know, the kind of the master plan of what's going to happen.
Okay. So maybe a discount trip down to Costa Rica for some Invest Like a Boss listeners.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%, Johnny, honestly. I mean, if anyone's looking to make this investment, you know, the hotels offer free nights to come down and stay, because I think it's, again, it's really important of, you know, have it really understanding what it is that you're investing into. So, you know, if someone came to me tomorrow and said, hey, Rich, hey, here's, you know, $500,000, I want to invest it in something. I'm like, well, have you been to Costa Rica before? No. Have you been to this hotel? No. Well, please come down and see it before we take your money. No, I just want to make the investment. Well, I'm sorry. Like, you need to come down and see this.
Okay. You know, well,
I think it's just really important for them to see what it is they're investing into, because then they'll go, oh, okay, I really get this now.
Yeah, I like it. I think that's very, like, a very smart move and very fair. So anybody who is interested in potentially making this investment, you want to check out Costa Rica, go to, was it Costa Rica? Just tourismbombs.com.
Exactly. Oh, tourismbombs.com.
Yeah, you got a great URL for that. Check it out. Talk to Richard. And yeah, if anyone ends up making an investment and you want to invite me down to Costa Rica with you next time, let me know.
I mean, anytime you want to come down, Johnny, come down and stay at our hotel. We'd love to have you.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Richard.
No worries. Have a good one.
Wow. That is a pretty interesting investment opportunity, and not something that I've really heard on this level, after this many episodes and all the different episodes that we've done around investing in real estate around the world. This is like a blend of worthy bonds and equity estates.
Yeah, it is actually really cool. And I just like that it gives all the benefits, or a lot of the benefits, of a timeshare, but without the downsides, you know, or as many as the downsides. Timeshares are such a terrible investment. It's like probably one of the worst ones anybody can make. And I'm just surprised they're still around. So I think this model should be the new timeshare. I think that industry needs to die. And the new version of a timeshare should be resorts selling, you know, their own tourism bonds or their own bonds, giving those perks of, you know, a yearly stay, but still having it be a cash flowing investment.
So I'm wondering how much these resorts actually need. I may have missed that point, but was there a cap on how much they're taking in? Like, you would think a resort doesn't need $50 million in debt to operate. I mean, obviously COVID was difficult on them, but.
So from my understanding, the point of it is to expand, either to build another tower, build more rooms, or even build another location.
Okay, so they're using it to, okay, that's interesting. So then that makes a lot of sense. Actually, at the very end of the episode, I was just going to say, like, this is so interesting, but it would be such a leap of faith if you've not been to Costa Rica and you'd not seen the property. And then right at the end of the episode, he's talking about how, Richard's talking about how he wouldn't even let people invest if they haven't come down. And you guys covered that pretty well. So I think, for people that have been down there and seen the property and or even stayed at the property, like to get a look at some of the paperwork and how, like, the debt is stacked, or how the capital stack is. But it seems pretty interesting. For $150,000, you're going to get 4-6% return. You get to stay 1 to 2 weeks in the hotel, and you can get residency in Costa Rica, which after COVID, I think a lot of people are looking for second residencies or second citizenships as sort of a plan B.
Yeah, I think once they mail this out to their list of previous guests, they're going to get a lot of people interested in investing. Because if I was the type where I've, you know, I actually out of pocket liked the place enough to spend $300 or $400 a night, you know, I went there, loved it, and I wanted to go back, and I got this email saying, hey, would you like to come back every year, you know, for free as an investor and actually get money? I would 100% do it. It just sounds like a no-brainer for that type of person. As someone who, yeah.
No, I was going to say, so for 2 weeks, let's say it's 100 a night. What do you think that it's probably 100 a night, maybe a little bit more?
No, some of the properties are you know, in the $400 a night range. There was one that was 100. Yeah. Some of these are really expensive.
Hotel that was that expensive.
Yeah, I took a look I took a look at just as kind of like a potential guest.
That's big money.
You know, I read the reviews, you know, the ones, Arenas Del Mar, I think that's the one that's kind of available. You know, that one has, you know, almost all, you know, 5-star reviews. People like it. It's just like a really nice place. It looks like they're going to use this money to expand. And you can even see the, like, you know, what they're going to use the money on. They're going to develop new treehouse villas. They're going to enhance the existing resort amenities. So you can see how they're going to build, where they're going to build, you know, what, you know, the whole prospectus is on there. So it's cool. I think, you know, for anyone who was the, you know, kind of like a Condé Nast traveler who would have spent $300 staying there, it's a great deal.
Yeah. Well, that starts becoming much more valuable when you talk about 2 weeks at $300 a night. Because I was just going to say, well, if it's $100 a night, you know, you're getting, let's just say you're down there for 10 days. So you're saving $1,000. You know, you still have all the costs of traveling there and everything, right? So it's not like a free trip. But I do like the idea that it sort of forces you, and this is one of the points Richard made, sort of like forces you to take a vacation down to a spot that you've either never been to or really like. And I think also, like, I believe the Costa Rican currency is pegged to the dollar. So then you take away currency risk. If you're, you know, if you're living in the States, you take away currency risk in the investment. But at the same time, you're investing outside of U.S. borders. So you get a bit of geographical diversification.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool type of investment. I think it's actually a no-brainer on both sides. You know, for the resort, why would they take out a high-interest loan when they can get a cheaper loan through, you know, an actual investor, someone who actually feels like, you know, they actually care about the property. The rooms they're giving away are only during, you know, the non-peak season. I'm not too familiar with the weather patterns in Costa Rica, but it sounds like the window is big enough where, you know, you can't go there on New Year's Eve or on like Christmas, you know, day, but, or like the, you know, the 4 weeks that's super high season. But in general, it sounds like you can still find some good dates to go. So you're not going in like, you know, the middle of monsoon season or anything, if they even have one there. So for that, you know, that type of investor, I think it's a good deal. And actually there was something like this in Sri Lanka. I actually looked into it. It was the only difference was they wanted the money before the property was finished building. Yeah. And that's risky.
Yeah. Yeah. That's much more risky. Oh, I'll tell you what, if I was living in America, mostly full time, having Costa Rica residency would be very appealing, because I without talking to Richard specifically about it, I got to believe that Costa Rica was a pretty good place to be during COVID, because there's just a lot of places to go explore. I'm sure the lockdowns weren't too serious. You have, you know, epic coastline on both sides of the country. And in like a serious event, there's, you know, they grow tons of fruit there, tons of food there, per capita. So I think it would be a safe place if things were even in more dire situations.
Yeah, and that's what's nice about those kind of tropical islands, where it's pretty hard to starve when there's, you know, coconuts and bananas growing everywhere. You know, you might not be able to get, you know, exactly what you want, but no one's starving to death or freezing to death on a tropical island.
Dude, I could live off bananas and coconuts for a long time.
Yeah. So,
and coffee. They make awesome coffee there. Awesome coffee.
Yeah. There you go. You know, you got a little bit of surf, you got a little jungle, you got some cool, you know, animals. Yeah, would it be a bad place to get stuck?
So, what are the chances of you doing this, Johnny? I think it's very appealing, but I think just geographically it's a little out of reach for both of us, for the at least for the visiting and the residency.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, you know, living in Ukraine and spending, you know, half my time in Asia, there's not really a big appeal. But if I was living in the US, I had a job, you know, let's say I was a doctor in the US, and I had 2 weeks vacation every year, and I wanted to go somewhere relatively in the same time zone, in the same kind of hemisphere. I didn't want it to be too long of a flight, and I liked Costa Rica. You know, I wanted to go down there anyways, or I had been going down there anyways. This is something I would highly consider. I would absolutely take him up on the offer to fly down and take a look at it. And if I was a previous guest that had spent, you know, $400 a night or $300 a night, whatever it is, and actually enjoyed my stay, and I wanted to do that again, then I would 100% do it. It just sounds like a no-brainer for that specific, you know, investor, that specific person. But for me personally, it's not my cards right now.
Now, here's a question, Johnny. You think you can assign your 2 weeks or however long you get to friends and family?
That would be interesting. If you could, that would make this a lot more appealing.
Yeah, because then you could just, I mean, you could do it. You could send a business contact or someone down for their honeymoon or whatever. That would be pretty awesome. We'll have to follow up with Richard and see if that's an option.
Yeah, even if there was like some small penalty, you know, where, you know, instead of getting 10 nights, you get 8 nights or something, I think they should still do it.
Or maybe they can just offer that specifically as a perk to Invest Like a Boss listeners.
That'd be amazing. I like it. So, very cool. Richard, if you're listening to this, expect some iLab listeners to reach out. Sam, if you ever want to go down a Costa Rica, maybe for a little surf trip, let me know. We can try to figure something out.
I would love to. We'll hop back to the US for a day, say hi to our parents, and then skip down to Costa Rica for a couple of weeks.
I love it. Very cool. So guys, thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on the Apple Podcast app or wherever you listen. This week, I want to say thank you to Mal Foxley. He says, great show, 5 stars. Johnny and Sam host the Invest Like a Boss podcast, highlight all aspects of investing and are more in this can't miss podcast. The hosts are and expert guests offer insightful advice and information that is helpful to anyone that listens.
I love it. And thank you so much for the Patreons for supporting us financially, contributing each month. This goes directly to pay for Derek, our third co-host. And even when Derek's not specifically on an episode as a co-host, he's always behind the scenes helping with scheduling the production, making sure that we get these things out on time and on schedule for all of you listeners. So we appreciate that. And stay tuned for the Boss Insider series, which is kicking off in early September. We're going to have our first one. So we're going to have much, much more on that to come, but we're all very excited about that and think it's going to be a great way to bring back previous guests and have small but intimate Q&A sessions. So you guys can ask them any questions that you have, and we're going to share that with everyone else. So look forward to that.
Yeah. So if any of you want for us to try to get Richard on one of these Boss Insiders, let us know and we can try to schedule him on. Basically the way they work is, we're going to try to do them once a month, or at least every other month. We're going to have a previous guest on a small Zoom call. You know, it'll be, you know, maybe 20 people max. That way, everybody has time to ask questions, and we'll record it and put it just in the Patreon group. So it's just going to be for Patreon supporters. And if you know, want to submit questions beforehand, you're welcome to do that. Or if you want to hop on the live call and actually talk to some of these you know, these CEOs, these founders, you know, and we're going to have some pretty big companies come on. So it's going to be fun. And it's going to be really, really good value. And it's going to be a way to get your questions answered directly from the, you know, the actual companies itself. So go to patreon.com/investlikeaboss. You can sign up for as low as $5 a month, support the show, and also have access to the Boss Insider, as well as everything else that we have exclusively for Patreon supporters. All right. Thanks, bosses. And we'll see all of you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Invest Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.